I think he has some questions to clear up what he said, how he says he's confused in his own mind. John, you want to?
Yeah, let's get the ground rules.
The ground rules that there's nothing here that is attributable either directly or indirectly or on a background basis or obliquely. That whatever John gets that is useful, he has to write on his own.
You agree to that, John?
Yes, sir, I do. Before I write anything, I'll talk to...
You agree to Bill's terms and then proceed on that basis. Okay, go ahead.
Right. I was wondering, sir, why after the first rather mild reaction on the day before yesterday...
I wouldn't describe it as mild or excessive. My comment on that is that you newspaper men are not great diagnosticians, and you're entirely too speculative in determining people's attitudes and searching their soul. You take a statement of facts and the truth, and then you either go all overboard or you don't go overboard at all. For instance, one story, you'll say the really far price rise, almost you go that far, or the next thing, they're sputtering mad. Neither are true. You follow me?
Yes, sir, I do.
I would say it's just a high blood pressure of the people who feel they need to speculate or guess or predict or prophesy, the kind of the Pearson type. So I wouldn't say it was mild, and I wouldn't say it's strong. I'd say it's American, and it's truthful, and the whole picture is a very clear one that follows a pattern of many, many years of experience with minerals and material people who are in the business of looking after themselves. We're in the business of looking after the country. Now, since the day I became president, I have done what I could to feed out these huge inventories that were accumulated with great profits to the companies and with great burdens to the government that are unneeded in our modern technological economics. It is not just true with a monopoly industry like aluminum. It is true, it's been true with rubber. It's been true with tin. It's been true with lead. It's been true with zinc. It's true with the agriculture everywhere in the world we can find it. It's just a true period. Now that is a predicate and that is a basis that you've got to understand. And that accounts for my spending all day Sunday before I left the hospital with Rivers and with Symington and with staff people and with GSA in an attempt to get a bill on zinc and lead. And finally I had to get Rivers back from Vietnam and get him to agree to go from the House bill of 50,000 ton to the Senate bill of 250, and I got him to compromise on 200. But I could not have the photographers in, recording by NBC and the New York Times, and evolving this legislation. But the public interest, in my judgment, requires not a continued stockpiling of things we don't need, with heavy invested capital, with heavy carrying costs, with heavy speculative effects to protect a few people who would like to create scarcities in a period. I don't want to charge this because I need to be very, very careful. Everything they said yesterday, if you will read the transcripts, your boy's job is to provoke a fight. Mine is to prevent one. It's that simple. But in McNamara's talking and in Ackley's talking and in Fowler's talking yesterday on matters they've been working on now for over a year, they denounced no one. They busted no one. They attacked no one. They responded in a very moderate, reasonable, judicious, fair response to a fair question. All the leads had the administration blasting, the administration denouncing, and so forth. So that's kind of overboard to the mild of the day before. If you want to get my reaction to the descriptive color terms, as McNamara called them, that is it. You call a failed duping. And if you'd have been the PR man for aluminum, you couldn't have served a better cause. Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
The word dumping connotes that you are just unloading all you got. Well, hell, we got 1,400,000 tons that ought to have been sold a year ago. But because we want to be careful, because we want to be fair, because we want to be cautious, because we want to be just, we've tried to get these people now the most patient operation, not a steel operation where overnight you make a decision, but 11 long months to agree to any kind of plan. But the answer is, no, we'll bump you through the newspapers. That's what they told us day before yesterday.
Do you think that there will be any effect on the relationship with the business group as a whole here? With respect to the council statement yesterday.
What council statement?
Well, Mr. Ackley's description of the increase.
I thought it was just an accurate description, which they have known in effect since I became president. That's not any news to them. They will have had, we got boys out there fighting for $60 a month. This will be the sixth increase in 24 months.
I see.
When you increase prices six times and you create scarcities by refusing to cooperate with the government to allow surpluses to come in, holding them off artificially, and you create a scarcity, and then you increase prices six times. There's an old word for it that we've used in World War I and II in Korea, you know, and that's war profiteering.
I see.
And I'm not going to denounce them, and I'm not going to blast them. But in answer to your question, one of the first people I talked to when I came in as president to explain to them that it's very good for the business community to keep up the keep on the field, the team that is now operating, because you're doing very well. And if we can keep that team play, it will be in the interest of business itself. That's number one. And I did that as soon as I became president with the president of Alcoa. And upon the recommendation of the Council of Economic Advisors and some of their principal purchasers of the Defense Department, which will, will take a neighborhood of 15 to 20% of their total output. And we said to them, now this team that's out on the field is winning, and it's got 30-odd months behind it under its belt. So let's don't jack up these prices. And what we're doing to you is we're not going to give you the great profits that you had in the 50s when the government was buying a lot of stuff for the stockpile that you had sold them on. Because we haven't got that kind of situation, and you haven't got the highest profit industry. We know that, but we're improving your setup. And all of this is carefully gone over with them, and they are not unaware of the fact that boys are fighting for $60 a month. They've had six price increases. Their profits are up 80% since 61, and their balance of payment situation is a pretty dangerous one now. They've had $100 million. Come in here in balance payments this year, could be 200 next year. Their imports have gone up from 100,000 tons to 400,000 tons. And so number two, they have their own industry thing. If you keep the same team on the field, you're doing mighty well as is. Second, your balance of payment situation, you're not increasing your competition. That is a very thing you want to take judicious notice of. And finally, third, there is a moral question here of do you get all the blood that the traffic will bear when your government's got to use, say, 20% of your product to get the mating to the men out in Vietnam? And your government doesn't have any real control. There's not a thing we can do under the law say you can sell for 24 cents. If they won't say 44 cents, they can do it, and I can't do anything about it. And if I do do anything about it, I am misinterpreted, misjudged, but they know these facts, that this is the fifth increase since October 63. Now that's less than 24 months, they've had five. They know that this has been the greatest year for the industry, with the sales at all-time record. And the fabricated product prices are already up. They know that profits after taxes are extremely high compared to the same period in 64. Now, for the first 9 months, Alcoa is up 26% profits after taxes. If your salary's up 26% after taxes, you'd be reasonably pleased, wouldn't you? Or would you go back on that picket line? Kaiser's up 29%. Reynolds is up 52%. Now that's compared to the first 9 months this year. That's very current with the first nine last year. Now Alcoa's up 70%. Over what it was when the Democrats took over in 61. Kaiser's up 40. Reynolds is up 100. Now the profits this year are second only to the 56 record when they were storing it for the stockpile and had that scarcity on the hand. But because of our tax situation, our liberal depreciation, the cash flow exceeds all previous figures in the history of the United States. The profit rates on equity thus far this year are 8.6 for Alcoa, 10.2 for Kaiser, 9.8 for Reynolds. Now, it's not a high profit industry, but you can see it is the biggest of any year, the net that they've ever had, and it's moving up. Now, the wage contract last June was no justification for a price increase. The management and the union claimed it was a 4% settlement. But we all knew that was an exaggeration. They actually paid 3.5 or less, and the productivity in aluminum has been rising at about 5% a year, which more than offsets their wage increase. Now, we have 1,200,000 tons of aluminum, including 500,000 tons that we can sell immediately without any legislation. Now, we have not dumped that on the market. I've been president 2 years. I've tried first to get adequate stockpile management. We don't have that. It's pretty difficult to handle these things when an industry takes their congressmen and their senators and their press, and we have to battle those things first before we get to the merits. I think your country is just criminal to be told that they're going to use you and your paper to beat me over the head if I don't do what they want to. Isn't that an arrogance that you, it's unbelievable?
Well, yes.
That's what they told the negotiators who have been meeting with them since January. Now, this is not any new thing. They just jerked in and threw the price hike into it.
I see.
I never raised any price hike. They've been coming in talking to our advisors all through the months. They've known ever since I called them in the latter part of 63 and talked to them about price stability and the desirability of keeping this team going and the desirability of liberal depreciation considerations like we had in the tax bill. And the balance of payments problem. I pointed out to them that their dollar's no better than what the American dollar's worth, and that 58 through 60, we lost over $4 billion a year. Now, I'm going to try to cut that below half of that this year. But I can't cut it when these folks are jacking that price up and making things so scarce that the French and the Canadians and the Japs and the Japs.